Hello, Malcolm here, and welcome to Quiet Time Coaching episode 157. And today we're talking about how do we, well, actually this is part one of two, about how introverts and extroverts can thrive during this period of isolation. So I'm recording this in the middle of the COVID-19 virus crisis, and we're in lockdown. And introverts and extroverts may find different challenges during this lockdown period. How do we handle that in isolation in a spiritually healthy way as an introvert or an extrovert? And this comes because of a kind of a half-joking request that Charlie Hines made to me. You know who you are, Charlie. But thank you for the idea of asking for some tips for introverts to spiritually handle this isolation in the best way possible. And so I went away and thought about it, and I've got today some thoughts on how introverts might be able to handle it well, and also how to help introverts to be in a spiritually good place. And next week we'll talk about extroverts. So we'll come to you, extroverts, next week. So if you are an extrovert, you still need to listen and watch, because there are some tips here to help you to help introverts, and you need to know what they are, because you're a very different animal to an introvert. Now, speaking personally, I think I'm a mix of both, and many of us are. I don't like the labels of saying so-and-so is an introvert, so-and-so is an extrovert, and that's sort of some kind of box we put people in. I am not a boxed person, neither of you. Now, you may call yourself an introvert or an extrovert primarily, and that's fine. I think we can self-define, but most of us surely are on some kind of spectrum between extreme introversion and extreme extroversion. We're somewhere along here, and I at times are more introverted and other times more extroverted. Sometimes it depends on the context. I really like being around people. I find people fascinating, stimulating, and exhausting, especially if it's quite a long time with somebody or a group of people. I have to go away and recharge. And there's an introverted side to that aspect of me. And I do like my own company. I love my books. I like to walk alone in the countryside. Yes, I do like walking with my wife and other people at times too, but I really value that alone time. There's parts of me that are more introverted, parts of me, or in different contexts, more extroverted. I expect you're a mix as well. So don't misunderstand me here. I'm not trying to put everybody in one box or the other. But likely, you and I are a little more down the road of being an introvert more than an extrovert, or vice versa. And I'm going to talk about that in a moment. But we do need to self-define here, I would say. So what I offer today in this recording and the next one to come next week is not so much about defining people, but more about asking you to take whatever you find useful from what I'm talking about today. Whatever you find useful, apply and use and feedback to me how it goes. Okay, so that's what we're doing. That having been said, I think it will be useful to consider the spiritual impact of social isolation on those of us today with a more introverted nature. So that's where we're going to focus things for today. Now, I'm going to split what I'm going to talk about today into two parts. Part one is more about how an introvert can help themselves to be in a good place spiritually. Part two is going to be more about how other people can help introverts and support them. Perhaps that's a better word than help. How other people can support introverts to be in the best place they can be spiritually during a time like this. Specifically, I'm going to focus on those spiritual matters, not on mental health issues, for example. And if you are struggling with your mental health, what I say might be a help to you, but don't neglect those who are specially trained in mental health issues. And if you really are struggling with your mental health, go and find a professional and get some help from them to support you through a time like this. Nothing wrong with that. Now, interestingly, I sent out a message about a week ago saying that I was going to do this article and asking for people to give me suggestions, ideas for it. And I had quite a lot of people email me or contact me on Facebook, and thank you very much. But it was rather interesting that, as far as I can tell, every one of the people who sent me a message are introverts. Now, I asked about introversion and extroversion, but it seems to me only introverts emailed me, which is really interesting. I'm not quite sure what to make of that. So perhaps you have a theory on that, I'd be interested. But I would really like to hear from self-defined extroverts as well, especially for next week's podcast video article. So if you are an extrovert and you've been thinking about contacting me, please do so. Drop me a line and that will help for next week, okay? Now let me give you a few selected comments from some of my correspondents. Few quotes here. Stephanie from Ireland. Hello, Ireland. Stephanie said, as an introvert, I don't find lockdown too bad at all. I'm loving not having to traipse off to work or meetings. But what I find hard is not getting any alone time in the house. She has a lot of people in her house. That can be challenging, can't it? Because I've talked to introverts who like going to work, not so much because they like being with their work colleagues, but because they have a 45-minute tube journey on the London Tube, for example. And although they're surrounded by people, perhaps with some noise-cancelling headphones and a book, that's kind of their alone time. And they're missing that alone time on their commute to work and back. So that can be a challenge. By the way, she also sent me or pointed me to a rather good GIF about the difference between introverts and extroverts, which I've posted on the on my website. So you'll find it there and in the show notes. Maxine. Hi, Maxine. Maxine wrote this. As an introvert, I have found isolation more easy when I get creative with imagination. But on the other hand, I need to be watchful, lest I fall into fantasy. That's interesting. So this isolation she finds easier when she's being creative. I must say that's been true for me as well. Being creative, like recording these podcasts and videos, actually satisfies the extrovert and the introvert side of me. The introvert side of me likes the creative process. The extrovert likes actually, in a sense, performing and recording and then sending it out to the world. And so maybe you need to think about that. What kinds of activities help you, or perhaps your imagination can come alive more during a time of isolation, but not to fall into fantasy. So kind of daydreaming and it not going anywhere and that kind of thing. Caroline Birtles, thanks for contacting me, Caroline. I don't know if you're an introvert or not, Caroline, but she provides these comments from her perspective as somebody well-trained in MBTI, Myers-Briggs TI, Myers-Briggs type indicator. I think that's it. Perspective. She says this, introverts get energized when given quiet time to reflect. They can go for hours being on their own. This recharges their batteries, helps them focus on what's really important, and can lead to great insights, ideas, and less stress. Introverts may find this time wonderful for deep Bible study. Ooh, yes. Deep Bible study. Getting deep into this book. Oh, I was doing that earlier this week. I'm preparing a preaching series on Psalm 23. And I got into the background of Psalm 23 earlier this week, digging into some commentaries, some dictionaries, some YouTube videos. I lost an hour, just disappeared. Thanks, Caroline. Barry Lamb sent me not an email, but an essay. Thanks, Barry. And I'm only going to quote a little bit for today, but it was really good stuff. Barry said this, being a serial introvert, now that's an interesting label, serial introvert, this whole isolation thing is like a dream come true. I can't believe that I'm encouraged to stay at home. It's like Christmas, except that it's Easter. One of the benefits of being an introvert is that I can find plenty to do. As true introverts like to entertain themselves. I'm doing a lot of reading, learning, reflecting, catching up on missed TED Talks, some of my favorite podcasts, including mine, I assume, immersing myself in creative projects, taking on a theology course, participated in early morning football training with Joel, that's Barry's son, 4 days a week at 5:30 a.m. You're mad, but I admire your fatherly commitment there. and countless interesting projects around the house. I journal every day. I made a decision to be intentional about having meaningful interactions and offering services to others. He talks about phone conversations with a neighbor, with somebody with mental health issues, delivering some food to somebody who needed it, a couple of deep spiritual conversations with somebody who's not a Christian, looking up former colleagues, friends on Facebook, positive interactions, speaking to different neighbors, asking how they are, which is interesting. So as an introvert, Barry feels the need to connect. And that's interesting because introverts are often thought of as people who don't like connection, but that's not true. Introverts like connection, it's just the right kind and quantity. Anyway, reaching out, looking, being a friendly face, encouraging people in the supermarkets, that kind of thing. Thanks, Barry. Andy from Bristol sent me a very helpful PDF, which I'm going to post in the show notes on the website. So I won't go through it now, but thanks for the PDF about how to care for introverts. So that's going up online. Harry and Belle, thanks for being in touch, Harry. Harry said this, Belle and I are both introverts and often find attending a church of over 100 people quite challenging, especially since most of them seem to be extroverts. It's often true for an introvert, but most other people look like extroverts, even if they're not. Sometimes they are, though. And of course, in church, we're in a sense trained to be outgoing. And there's nothing wrong with that as such at all. We want to be friendly and loving. But it can sometimes, if you've got 100-odd outgoing people, or even people who aren't naturally but are desiring to be, trying to be outgoing, then for an introvert, it can be a challenging environment. So he says, in some respects, online church works better for us, as does social distancing and being in lockdown. There's a silver lining to every cloud, isn't there? Well, I had a few more, but I'll stop there for now. Sandra, amongst others, thank you. So with these thoughts in mind, I have five practical suggestions for an introvert to help them support themselves spiritually, and then five suggestions, practicals, principles for those of us who'd like to support introverts spiritually. So firstly, how an introvert can help themselves spiritually. And indeed, most of these principles would apply to an extrovert actually just as much as an introvert. But let's go through them and see what we can learn together. The first thing I'd say is, as an introvert, know yourself. Know yourself. Reflect on the signs that you know for yourself, indicate whether you are on a positive spiritual trajectory or on a negative spiritual trajectory. If you've been a Christian for a little while, you know the signs. You know the difference between being restful and lazy. You know it. If you reflect on it, you'll know those signs and be honest with yourself. Know yourself and be honest with yourself whether these things are going well or not going so well. I dare say you know what those issues are. And if you're not sure, pray and ask God for discernment. He gives wisdom without finding fault, doesn't he? Be honest with yourself and perhaps find a friend that you can be honest with. We're going to talk more about that in just a moment. So first step is to know yourself, be honest with yourself. The second thing at a time like this, in isolation, in these unprecedented times, is to know what you're aiming for. What are you actually aiming at, spiritually speaking? Question you could ask yourself. What would the most Christ-like version of yourself be doing right now in this circumstance? Not the circumstances of a month ago or 6 months ago, but now in this lockdown situation, what would the most Christ-like version of you be doing? That's an interesting question to ask because we're not there comparing ourselves with other people, especially not those extroverts. We're asking ourselves what the most Christ-like version of ourselves would be doing, what would be like at the moment in this circumstance. What would you be doing in that situation? So know what you're aiming at. Pray about that. Get a clearer picture of that. Then thirdly, I would suggest this. Consider what has helped you in the past. So think back to a time when you've been isolated before. I would suggest that we've all had times like that, not quite in the same context as now, but something like this in the sense of some kind of isolation. For example, perhaps you were in hospital before for an extended period of time, and you'd say, well, I wasn't isolated, I had doctors and nurses and other patients. Yeah, but you were in a different, your own world, a different world. You were isolated from most of the time from those you knew best, who you were used to seeing at work, your family, your friends, your church colleagues, your church member friends. And it was a very different context. Perhaps you did that. Perhaps you spent some time working alone abroad somewhere, or I worked on a cruise ship 40 years ago, I worked on a cruise ship, and I felt isolated. I did have people around me, but not people who knew me. Perhaps you travel for work and you spent maybe a week away in a hotel room, kind of on your own. I've done some traveling like that. I've been to conferences. And although I've been around people I know some of the time, I've also been isolated some of the time. I spent a week in hospital when I was 14 or 15. And I've also spent other time in hospital. Perhaps you spent time in prison. That's an isolating time. Think back to a time when you were isolated and ask yourself how you handled that situation well, the good things that you did that meant you handled it the best you could. Perhaps there were some things you could have done better, but we don't want to focus on those. Instead, what were some things that were useful to you then that might be useful to you now? What went well for you? Could you take one or more of those practicals and implement them now? I'll give you an example. I don't journal as a regular practice. I have done from time to time, but it's not something I do consistently like Barry. But I have found that when I've been isolated, journaling has become very important to me. So I took a spiritual retreat for 3 days about 10, 15, nearly 20 years ago now. And I kept a spiritual journal those 3 days. I was really around nobody, except a few sheep on a mountain in Wales. And I had a little iPack PDA, if you remember those, and a fold-out Bluetooth keyboard. And so I was typing on this tiny little thing with this tiny little screen, and I still have those notes. And it really helped me to process what I was thinking, what I was feeling, and to stay spiritually connected with God and to be spiritually minded. It was each day, and sometimes more than once a day, just a journal over a cup of coffee or something like that. That's something that helped me at that time. In fact, I'm doing something a bit like that now in my planner. I'm not journaling in the traditional sense, but at the end of each day, what I have been doing the last week, 2 weeks, is simply writing down a list of the things I did that day that I think were significant. And just as I write them down in capital letters, just a list, it helps me to process my day and then prepare for the next day. And frankly, it helps me spiritually, because although some of those things are quite practical, like making hummus or dinner, it still reminds me of the way that I've been able to serve and been connected with God in some other ways too. So perhaps journaling for you, certainly for me, that's something. Reading is something else that I've done regularly in the past when I've been isolated. More reading. I always like to read, but I read more when I'm isolated. And that's helped me a lot in the past. When I've been in hospital, I've read a lot. I have upped my reading game recently. I've been reading some books. Harry Hardy, you'll recognize this book, and you'll recognize this book, because they're books you gave me. And I was going to pass them on, but I decided to read them. And I'm so glad. These are 100 years old, these books. I mean, more than 100 years old. In fact, I think this one. And they're both by a chap called Joseph Bryant Rotherham. That's a name. And I just thoroughly enjoyed reading these books as sacred books. It's about inspiration, transmission, translation. This one, Christian Ministry. Brilliant. And a book here my wife recommended for me because she and I met one of the authors a few years ago, The Gospels and Rabbinic Judaism. Fascinating stuff. And I'm reading a number of Kindle books, which I can't show you on the screen, but I'm really enjoying this. It's really helping me. It's something that makes a difference to me in isolation. I realize the more isolated I become, the more I need to read and the more nourished I feel. What about you? This comes from my past. I know this about myself. Writing things down, reading more helps me. What helps you? So think about that, reflect on that, and that might help you. What's helped you in the past could be helpful for you now. Fourthly, reflect on your value to your community. Reflect on your value to your community. Especially here, I'm thinking about the Christian community, your church community, but it could be broader than that, of course. See, the church needs all kinds of people. The church needs introverts and extroverts equally, and everybody in between, and every kind of person. We need everybody. Sometimes the introverts do not feel as valuable. The extroverts are often the ones on the stage, the ones that are visible. Not always, but it's often the case. The church needs you, introvert, just as much as the extrovert. And indeed, the extroverts need you. You need the extroverts. We all need each other. A church of only extroverts would be madness. A church of only introverts would be an equal but opposite madness. It wouldn't reflect Jesus, would it? So we need each other. We need you. You, Mr. or Mrs. or Miss or Ms. or introvert, disciple, introverts, you are needed. You're valuable to your community, which means that it's important that you find ways to stay connected to your community, because that community does need you. So what you might want to do is make a list of the things that you offer: your gifts, your experiences, your spiritual strengths. What do you bring to the body? If you write out a list, you might see more clearly how you can use them in ministering to others, even during a time of isolation. You can come up with some ways. I know that you can. The scripture that comes to mind, of course, is 1 Corinthians 12, 15 to 22. Now, if the foot should say, if the introvert should say, because I'm not a extrovert, I do not belong to the body, would not for that reason stop being part of the body. You get the point, right? If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, if the sense of hearing, if God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? Many parts, one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And that's a word to the extroverts who might not think the introverts are so significant. Maybe you do, but maybe you don't. But every part is needed and is indispensable. Fifth way in which introverts can thrive in isolation is to make a plan to be connected to God and to other people and share it with somebody. Make a plan that will help you remain connected with God through this time of isolation, and make a plan for you to be connected to people and share it. Sharing it with somebody else makes a big difference, doesn't it? For me, it clarifies my thinking, it increases my level of commitment, and it means that I've given someone permission to hold me accountable in a loving way, but I'm giving them permission. Small goals are fine, small actions, one adjustment to your schedule to include something that helps you to be spiritually healthy, one task each day to support your spiritual well-being, one action to take each day that strengthens your ties with your community. One thing at a time, one day at a time. What are we told to pray about? Pray about your daily bread. Just today's bread. Let's not worry about tomorrow's bread, next week's bread, next month's bread. Just today. One action for one day at a time. Share with somebody else. You may find that useful. Well, that's part one. Things that introverts can do for themselves. Now, part two. How the rest of us can help an introvert to be in the best state they can be spiritually during this time of isolation. What can we do to support people? Now, the application of these principles I'm going to suggest and some practicals might be a little bit different depending on whether you're living with an introvert during this isolation or whether you're just trying to help them from a distance, a social distance via phone or whatever else. So make adjustments to what I share here as is necessary. So, suggestion number one, take the initiative. Take the initiative. An introvert might need you to make the first move for connection to happen. Just because someone is an introvert doesn't mean they don't want you to contact them. Introverts are not people who don't want to be in community, they just need to do it in a particular way. So give them a call, send them a message, call them up. Looking out for others is a Christ-like perspective, isn't it? Rather, as it says in Philippians 2, rather in humility value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. So take the initiative. Secondly, ask permission. ask permission. Now, what do I mean by this? Well, let's say you've rung someone who's an introvert and they pick up the phone. Before you launch into everything you want to say and all the encouragement you want to give and all the news you want to share, ask them if this is a good time. Is this a good time for a chat? Would you prefer I ring back another time? Check in if this is the right time. Ask permission to have the conversation. Don't assume that they're ready to have an in-depth conversation with you right at that moment. They may not be. Be polite enough, kind enough, in fact, loving enough to say, is this a good time? If not, I'll call back another time. Let me know when it's convenient. Do ask permission, don't assume. Thirdly, don't overstay your welcome. Let's say you're on the phone, or you're on a Zoom call. Be aware of the fact that the other person may not want to talk as much as you, especially if you are an extrovert. Don't overstay your welcome. The point of contact is to have contact. It's not about the length of that contact. Sometimes less is more. Quality truly is, in this regard, more significant than quantity. Sometimes we need to just let the other person set the agenda in terms of length. Some introverts will love a long, drawn-out, deep conversation, and others won't. Pray to be spiritually discerning about when to wrap up a conversation, and especially if you're talking to an introvert who is a conflict avoider, you could always ask, have you had enough for today? And then say, well, that's fine. I'll talk to you again soon. Something like that. That's point number three. Point number four, trust them. Trust them. Now, especially if you are an extrovert, trust this introvert you're perhaps on the phone to, that they're spiritually able to manage their own well-being. You need to trust them. You're not there as an extrovert to browbeat them into a certain kind of behavior or convince them that they need you or something like that. Just because they're not like you doesn't mean they're not doing well spiritually. And this is a difficult phrase, isn't it? Doing well, who's to say what doing well really means? It's a very subjective judgment, and judgment is something we need to do very carefully. Matthew 7, verse 1 to 5, do not judge lest you be judged, right? That doesn't mean we can never make a judgment, but simply because someone's been a bit isolated, simply because someone is introverted, does not mean as an extrovert that you can then approach them as if, well, oh, you're so introverted, you can't be doing well spiritually. This is very subjective and very judgmental, and we need to be people of mercy, like the Beatitudes talk about. Blessed are the merciful. Let's be loving in our connections with people, not judging. Trust them. We need to trust one another and give each other the benefit of the doubt. That doesn't mean we don't ask sometimes quite direct or probing questions from time to time. But we do it in a loving, trusting manner. I'm sure you're doing the best you can, and you love God. Is there anything I can do to help? Rather than, you've been very quiet, but they're an introvert. What do we expect? Number five, ask, don't tell. Ask, don't tell. So, what do I mean by this? Well, a question like, a good question would be one like this. How can I support you spiritually? In what way could I be of any help to you? So you're offering what's my role in supporting you, and I need you to support me too. It's not one way, but you know, what can I do for you? It's much better than something like, what you need to do is pray with me more often. So now we become the person telling them what to do. This is not helpful for anybody, frankly, but especially an introvert, and especially perhaps an introvert who is a little insecure. Even if you've got a good suggestion, or even if what you've got to offer and suggest is true, it's disrespectful, and that means unloving, to tell people what they need to do. Only God can really tell us what we need to do. And such an approach also tends to reduce their own buy-in to an idea. We're all much more committed to things that we've come up with ourselves. If you ask, How can I support you? And they don't have any ideas. You could then make a suggestion, but the way we make a suggestion is important. So I'm going to suggest a way to make a suggestion. It's just a suggestion, by the way. I'm not telling you what to do. Well, I suppose I am in a way, but it's a suggestion. So what you could do is you could say something like, how would you feel if I made a suggestion? Could I make a suggestion? Would you like a suggestion? They still could say, no, thank you. Appreciate your heart and your desire to help me, but not right now. You've got to give them that option. Choice. Choice is part of who we... God gives us choice. We should give each other choice. However, if you ask the question, how would you feel if I made a suggestion? They say, well, I'd be interested. Okay. If they indicate they would appreciate that, then make one suggestion. Don't see that as the green light to say, right, I've got a 10-point plan for you here. Just make that one suggestion. And make sure it's a suggestion, not a command or an implied command. For example, here's what you would best not do. What I think you should be doing is fasting once a week because you need to get a pure heart and you ought to be more excited about righteousness. I've over-exaggerated that, obviously, but we've got to be careful about this. You need to, you ought to, you should do. These are very top-down and judgmental ways of phrasing. Well, not just a way of phrasing, but an attitude. We're here to support one another, not to take someone's not to take over responsibility for someone's spiritual well-being, and not to dominate it. They need to mature. We all need to mature, and that means supporting one another in that, even if we're an older Christian. Support rather than demand and dictate. Instead of all those oughts and needs and shoulds, something more like this, perhaps, if you're talking about fasting, a question would be better, I would suggest. Have you considered fasting? So your friend has said, look, I'm really struggling with this, that, or the other. And you could say, have you considered fasting? They may say, yes, I've tried it, it doesn't work. Or yes, I tried it in the past, it did work, but I haven't done it recently. Or I don't know what they'll say, but ask the question. Have you considered fasting? And then, depending on the answer, take it from there. And it may go on to a much longer conversation with other suggestions, but you're asking, not telling. I think that's really important. Well, a lot more could be said about all this, but I think the balance of the five principles and practicals for introverts to help themselves be spiritually healthy, and then the five things that we can do to help other people who are introverts, I hope you'll find out of those at least one or two that are useful for you, either as an introvert or as someone supporting an introvert. My question then now is, what have I missed? If you're an introvert, what helps you? What helps you yourself, but what helps you when other people are supporting you? And if you're an extrovert, what would you like to see me cover next week? Next week, we'll be talking about extroverts and isolation. So send me your ideas, malcolm@malcolmcox.org. Suggestions, resources, I would love to have as much as possible so I can share about it and also put things in the show notes as well. Just to finish off, our model is not an introvert or an extrovert. Our model is not some fantasy idea. Our model is always Jesus. How did Jesus handle his isolation? Must have been a bit isolating for him to come from heaven to earth. Must have been a bit isolating for him to carry the burden of the knowledge of where he was going to the cross whilst also interacting with other people. Must have been a little isolating to be all alone in the trial away from his disciples. Or in Gethsemane, he got a bit isolated because his friends fell asleep, or certainly isolated on the cross. What do you see in him that inspires you in your isolation? Think about the Apostle Paul and Silas, stuck in a jail. What inspires you and what do you see in them that might help you, whether an extrovert or an introvert, to get through this time of isolation spiritually in a good place? I'd be very interested to know what you have to say about that. So please do drop me a line. So please add comments on this week's recording. Please add them wherever we can see them so we can learn from each other, because we learn best in community. If you know anybody who would benefit from this recording, do please pass the link on. If you haven't already done so, hit the notification button and subscribe button in YouTube or Vimeo, and leave us a podcast review, if you wouldn't mind. I'd very much appreciate that. And if you want to leave me any other questions about topics you'd like to see me cover, especially any connected with this crisis we're in at the moment, then I'd love to know what you'd like me to record about and talk about. So drop me a line, malcolm@malcolmcox.org, and I'll see what I can do. Thanks very much. So until the next time, I hope you have a wonderful day. Take care, and God bless.